So let's go. I want to just take you on a trip back to 1944. When we talk about the Grapevine, that's when the first newsletter was developed. And it's a wonderful history of our fellowship as well, because what appeared in the Grapevine was what was happening both in the world and the world of AA. We were at war in 1944. It was World War II. And in this country, meat was being rationed. And we had just liberated France, landed on the beach in Normandy. And Batman and Robin just came out, and the song was Swinging on a Star, and that's what I was swimming to before, believe it or not. So I guess I like old music. So where was AA? At that time, all the groups were doing their own thing. There was no interconnection, there was no harmony, and there was no communication between groups. Some were publishing their own newsletter, and Bill was constantly getting letters from disgruntled members reporting each other, reporting the chairs. And he hadn't published the traditions until April of 1946. So there were no guidelines in terms of the meetings, the fellowship. So there was a real desperate need to have some unity. So six members of the fellowship, and this was in New York City. There were four women and two men, and Bill called them the ink-stained wretches. They got his blessing to come up with a newsletter. And who were the women? Well, it was a very diversified group. One was a writer. The other was a mother of four. There were a news reporter, a cashier. So it was a very diversified group. They were all, of course, all members of the fellowship. Now, the most, not important, but the most notable person was Marty. And I'm just reading now her biography. I was so stimulated when I was doing some work on this about her life. And she is regarded as the longest sober lady in fellowship at that time. She was the first woman with the longest sobriety, and she was quite a woman. She spent her life after that, after being in so many psychiatric facilities and growing up with tuberculosis and fighting that, she became a renowned educator and researcher in the field of alcoholism to lower the stigma of what alcoholism was in those days. And she also formed the and directed for 24 years the National Council on Alcoholism. And there I was in 1982, 82, no, I guess it was 80, 1980, there with input from some of the long-term sober women, one of whom was Ruth Brooks also, getting some guidelines, my small group, how to put together National Society on a National Nurses Society on alcoholism. And it's just so incredible how the whole history of that and so the room and what it represented. The big book was published in 1939, and that had really changed her life, and that's how she had attended her first meeting at Bill and Lois' home. At that point, there were only two meetings in the country, one in Akron and one at Bill's in Brooklyn. And in the early 50s, she was selected by Edward R. Murrow. Now, some of you probably don't know who he is. He was a renowned journalist and newscaster. And he selected her as one of the 10 greatest living Americans. It was quite an honor. So what did the newsletter look like? It was an 8-page formatted bulletin. They sent out 1,200 copies, and it would cost them $187 to do the printing and send everything out. All armed force members who were in the fellowship received a free copy, and that was all over wherever they were stationed, all over the world. And finally, and it was free to all members in the fellowship groups who were who had a group number, who registered with General Service at the time. At the time, also, many of the friends of AA, they weren't sober members. They were just, you know, friends of the fellowship. Sam Schumacher, Maker, and Charles Jackson, some of you read on The Lost Weekend or saw the movie. He wrote an article. Lois wrote an article in December of that year about what the fellowship had done for her, the principles. And it was also a time before Al-Anon. So there were teenagers and family members expressing how AA had changed their lives. Also at that time, Dr. Jelinek's famous chart of the phases of alcohol addiction was printed, from the crucial or early stages to the chronic stages. And it was interesting. I found this interesting. It wasn't all that alcoholism. They had murder mysteries. They had Hindu psychology, and Bill apparently and Bob were into that a little. There were notices of radio programs and Batman cartoons in it. So I thought that was interesting. What were the hot topics at the time? Women. Where women fit in the fellowship. And at Marty Mann's insistence, they at the first annual edition, the first year anniversary, which was in May of 45, she, to the surprise of everyone, she didn't let Bill know, they had published 5 articles about the experience of women in the fellowship. And some of the titles were Women's Alcoholics Have a Tougher Fight, and But Marty added, We Can Get There Anyway. A Daughter Is Proud of Her AA Mother, and Credo for an AA Wife. One of the husbands said there were rich rewards for the non-alcoholics, and he said he was affiliated with a dry mate, which is, he considered himself a dry mate. Interesting, too, that wives of whose husbands were in the fellowship were very upset. They were very envious because they felt that the women in the fellowship understood their spouses better than they did. And that got them, they were very upset about it. Another issue, and it was interesting, in 1944 was drugs. Drugs was a big problem then. And it was very, they used the term cross addiction, and we used that term until, I guess, about 10 years ago, but we're not really using it very much now. And in the third issue of The Grapevine, this Dr. N, who was in recovery, wanted a hophead's corner. Now, hopheads is a slang for drug addicts, and particularly narcotic addicts. And he wished that there was just one other alcoholic in the meetings that had a narcotic addiction that he could identify with. So another doctor who was in recovery reassured him that there were 5 hopheads and alcoholics in their group, in his group, all but one, their primary addiction was alcoholism. Bill went on to publish an article about sleeping pill menace, and he called them the goofballs. And does a pill jag count as a slip? That was another big issue. Are you not sober if you take pills? And the consensus was no, you're not if you have a pill jag. There were problems of old timers. There were slips. Now, old timers in those days was being sober a month or longer. So that was interesting. And the big topic was, should members applaud speakers? Now, that was a very big debate. It was very interesting. In December of 1945, Grapevine was incorporated by the group's request. It became the National Journal. It was the National Monthly Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, Bill was senior editor. He contributed over the years 150 articles. He stressed the independence of the Grapevine, which to this day, thank goodness it is, and that it would be the voice of AA as a whole, and that the trustees are not going to command what's written. As he said, that you can print articles expressing the wildest differences of opinion as long as the message of recovery is not lost. And in January 1949, it was adopted as the International Journal of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in 1958, they had their first international edition, and that was sent throughout the world of AA. And it became incorporated as part of the two publishing divisions in 1986. So we have AA World Service and we have The Grapevine. One interesting, I don't know if many of you know this, but 1946, we got in trouble with the FBI. It was a big problem. The FBI also produced a newsletter called the Grapevine. And when the lawmen picked it up, expecting their own local news, they were stunned by horrendous stories of drunken escapades. And the FBI threatened legal action. So the name of the magazine was changed to the AA Grapevine. And for many years, the Grapevine was so anonymous that it only carried the date and picture of grapes, a cluster of grapes on the front page. So the Postal Service had to give us, because we didn't have a name, so they gave us the P.O. Box 1980. And it appeared on all the correspondence. The mailbox has remained in general Grand Central Station to this day, and it's an artifacts there. And living there all my life, I'm so surprised that I never even knew about that. I would have probably checked it out. Well, anyway, Bill was a senior editor, and he just published all his writings from 1944 to 1971 are published now in The Language of the Heart. And which is, of course, many of us have read it. The AA Traditions was first published. He wrote it as the 12 suggested points for AA tradition. And it was really, he said he didn't write it. It was in response to all these personal letters from struggling groups, disagreements. And there were so many power struggles and control issues. So he wrote, over a four-year period, he wrote about 30 articles about the traditions. Before in 1950, it was finally, the 12 traditions were adopted by the Cleveland Convention, and it was considered the second legacy or our unity. And of course, it was met with controversy. And I just laugh when I read this, and a lot of groups disregarded it. And I'm thinking, okay, so the preamble today, history is repeating itself again. People are doing what they want to do. In 1952, he came out with the 12 steps and 12 traditions. Okay, so going back to some of the other history of the Grapevine, 1942, the Serenity Prayer appeared. Now, it first appeared in a obituary column in the New York Times, and someone showed it to Bill. He loved it, and then he made cards of it, and he got permission from this Dr. Reinhard Niebuhr, who was the author. And Niebuhr was attending Union Seminary in New York City, so he gave permission. He said that Bill's version he even liked better. It was more put together. The AA preamble came out in June 47, and it was entitled initially The AA Definition. It was written by an editor of the Grapevine, and it wasn't for groups. It was to explain the nature of AA to people who were in the fellowship, the general public, physicians, and it was called, what the fellowship is and what it isn't. And he based the preamble on the first edition of the big book, the foreword to it. The only changes that have occurred was admitting the honest desire to stop drinking, And they added that we're self-supporting through our own voluntary contributions. In 1945, the slogans came out, the first things first, and there, but for the grace of God, and easy does it, think, live and let live. And Bill and Bob introduced in the December 1950 issue of the Grapevine the whole concept of a general service conference. At that point, from what I understand, Bob was a few months before his death, but Bill was getting very ill too, from all the letters and the tremendous sense of responsibility and all the talks he was giving. It became a tremendous burden, and they both feared that they had to, that they could not continue the leadership of the fellowship, that they had to turn this over. So for 5 years, they had five experimental years of having a general service conference, and that became permanent in 1955. And in 1966, they just changed the ratio. I guess they trusted alcoholics more, so they made the rate trustees from 14 alcoholics to 7 non-alcoholics. And, you know, the Grapevine has been, you know, the source of so many stories for the Big Book, and more to come for the fifth edition. But all the stories from the Grapevine are stories that later appeared in our editions of the Big Books. Anyway, Bill wrote also very nice, it was a really beautiful editorial on leadership in AA, ever a vital need. And that was published in 2019 as Our Great Responsibility. And it was all his talks, the General Service Conference from 1951 to 1970. The most difficult time in our history in the fellowship, and I'm certainly being a product going through myself in the 1960s, was a very tumultuous time in my history as an alcoholic as well. The 1960s, they termed it the tug of war year for the fellowship, the whole decade. And what we had Vietnam, then we had assassinations, a Cuban Missile Crisis, and articles by members. Members were very upset about the whole notion of clubs. Some felt we're not sticking to alcohol, this is not social hour. And others were concerned about not going to enough meetings, that people were having slips, and also concerned about AA was getting way too organized, that those people at the top, even though it's, of course, we have an upside down triangle, but those people were making all the rules, and it was just too organized. And the first issue of La Vigna came out in 1996, and that's a bi-monthly issue, and it's for the Spanish-speaking members of the fellowship, and it's been fabulous because all the articles are written in Spanish by people, members in the fellowship who are Spanish. There's questions also about the Grapevine and conference approval. To myself, I really didn't know. I was told a few years ago, no, you can't have at the raffles Grapevine material because it's not conference approved, which is not the case. The General Service Conference in 1986, the took advisory action and said, you know, the approval, Grapevine comes out every month. The approval process takes years to occur. So we would never have any publication. So publications by the Grapevine are presented to the conference a year before they come out. And they're articles from members. They're not new. All the books that Grapevine has come out with are all articles that members in the fellowship have written. So that is not an issue. Well, it, you know, shouldn't be an issue anyway. But they were all, so that was trying to clarify that whole issue. All right, what are the projects today? Well, we just, in April of this year, the Grapevine Board came up with Grapevine Complete. So for $49.97, you can get a Grapevine magazine subscription and also media and also on your iPad. But you can no longer just get a media subscription. For, I think, $20, you can get a subscription just for podcasts. Just for iPads. I'm sorry. We have a podcast now. It's a variety hour, Mondays at 9 to 9:30. I don't know if any of you have seen that. It's by Don and Sam, and it's very humorous. It started last October, and by this spring, there were 80,000 downloads, which is very interesting. It's all on the Grapevine website. They also, a year ago, started Instagram account. Instagram at @_Grapevine. And after nine months, they had 7,000 followers. And it was included Iran, India, and Mexico, which is really interesting. On YouTube, oh, you got to see this. This is a wonderful Muppets rendition and on anonymity. And I just looked at it last night again. And all the ways we break anonymity. And it's adorable. And so, you know, Grapevine's really getting there. You know, the whole website is so great now. How do we carry the message? Well, we're trying the internationalists. We reach homebound. And I'm also concerned, I guess, with my background, trying to reach more alcoholics in nursing homes. And I don't think we're, I know, at least from my end, I haven't done a very good job with that. The Grapevine doesn't take any of the money that we get put in the basket and we give to GSO, Alcohol World Services. Grapevine does not have any contributions. All their money is raised through their subscriptions, which during the pandemic, really, they had to be supported a bit by General Service Organization because they lost so much money, so much revenue because of the pandemic. But the articles are, every month is a special edition. This month, July, is the incarcerated edition. Last month was seniors. And I guess that's enough from me, Kevin. I love to hear from people, any questions they have. I can go on and on. You don't want me to do that, right? So I'll go over every single pamphlet here. It took me an hour to put them all out, so I'll be very happy to explain all of them. But anyway, that's my presentation. The controversy, well, as we all know, the preamble came up again in our General Service Conference at the end of April, and it was unanimously passed this time. There was a lot of controversy in terms of the timeliness of this, and not coming out of committee, and the groups not having time to really discuss it. So all the 93 delegates and trustees, it was unanimous, but still, and I am part of some groups. Well, I attend some meetings where the group's conscience is that they will not accept it. They only will say men and women instead of people. And that's the group conscience. I mean, that is something that they choose to do. One of the big pushes now, and I think it's wonderful, is sponsorship in the prisons and corrections. Grapevine is really involved with that, having and sponsors who, through letter writing, not necessarily visiting and not in the same area, like, you know, in Port St. Lucie, it would be somebody maybe from Kentucky, but just to have someone be a sponsor through the letter writing. And so that's a big push now in the Grapevine. And I think it's wonderful. And in this issue of the Grapevine, they talk about, well, the members who are incarcerated talk about how meaningful it was. And when they, some of them were released, they got a chance to finally meet it, however, you know, right, wherever they lived, some of the people that were sponsoring them. And so it was a real blessing. But I think, how can we find out what? Yes, they do, Joel. They, every issue usually has, you know, when the submission date is and what, usually in the back of the issue. We, and there's a cycle, like every July is the prison issue, a special edition. So there are cycles. Joy and Sobriety will be in, which is a new book, but Trips and Sobriety, Vacations and Sobriety is the theme in August. So they do publish that, and they do ask, of course, for writings. Also, I didn't mention this, but the audio recordings have been a very big part. And a lot of people from our area, Annie, for one, from Area 15, has done a really nice audio. It's 7 minutes, and you can get on the Grapevine website. And they give you directions how to record anonymously. And you just, what they want is just to take one aspect of your story and focus on that. You know, something that would be unique about maybe your story or, and it's very nice. You can go on the website, you can, and they're all recorded. So if you ever want to hear some of them, they're there on the website. Well, from what we were told, there was a deficit in the reserve. I don't know the amount now, Kevin, but I know that they had some deficit, and that was being paid back to General Service. I think what happened, as I mentioned, with the subscriptions, I lost a lot of money, and that's their prime revenue. It's just that it went from, I think there's only maybe 60,000 subscribers now. A lot of the groups, because we went virtual, stopped subscribing as well. I know one of the groups here gets 35, Living Sober Group, gets 35 copies a month for their group members. But that's not the case with many of the groups. So I think they're getting out of it, but there still is a deficit. So to buy, and a lot of people are buying the literature on Amazon. I mean, I had to do that with Prayer and Meditation because I couldn't get a copy. It was sold out so quickly, within, I think, 2 months of publication. So I purchased it on Amazon, which doesn't really do Grapevine to doesn't give them any money.
All audio and video files on the District6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos, and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.